There is a process of subordination that allows rulership to occur.
Dr. Tony Evans says husbands need to realize that they're not the top link in God's chain of command.
So before you complain, she's not submitting, are you modeling what submission looks like?
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. There are lots of reasons the couples consider marriage. Most of the time, becoming more effective rulers isn't on the list. Let's join Dr. Evans as he takes us to Genesis chapter 2 for a look at why that ought to be a top priority.
God made the statement when he created, let them rule. Psalm 115 verse 16 says that God rules in the heavens, but he has given the earth to the sons of men to rule. The implications of that are staggering. Because what it means is that God has decided to respect your decisions. And that much of his action will be determined by our action. While he has maintained a base of sovereign boundaries, a sphere where he will not allow man to trespass on, he has opened up a field of play where we get to call the particular play and he will respond accordingly. That explains a whole lot. It explains why, how can a good God, a great God, a powerful God allow that to happen? Because let them rule. I will respect within my sovereign boundaries their decisions. So if they make their decisions in concert with me, then they will get my response accordingly. If they make their decisions antithetical to me, then they will get the results of that. God planted Adam in a garden. He planted in the sphere of his calling. From every tree of the garden you may freely eat. The essence of your Christian life should be measured by what you get to enjoy, not what you are denied of. You know you're entering into a realm of false religion when the emphasis is all you can't do as a Christian, rather than all you are free to do. From every tree of the garden you may freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that is off limits. In other words, you are not to determine for yourself what is good or bad, right or wrong. That is not within your realm of option. You are to live by revelation, not human determination. And so that was the limitation to remind man of his subordination underneath God. He has given man his limitations as well as his fluidity. And now comes a staggering reality whose implications I think you will see are far beyond perhaps what you would expect. I'm going to tell you now, some of the things we're going to go over today aren't going to be popular, but it will be essential in reclaiming your spiritual authority. Then, verse 18 says, after God had created man as a successful single, for he's not married yet. Then, after God had given man his divine framework in which he was to operate in. Then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. Now, God has spent the whole week talking about what's good. He created the light. It's good. He created the animals. It's good. It's good. It's good. It's good. It's good. And now he comes to a place in his creation where he says, it's not good. There's one thing missing in this creation, and that is Adam is alone, and that's not good. Now, before we go any further, it's not Adam saying it's not good. Adam said, hey. Adam is not complaining. The reason Adam is not complaining, going back to what I said to single, is that he is a satisfied single. And what's made him satisfied is the fulfillment of his calling. He has been placed in a realm of service to God that has been so satisfactory that he's okay. He's managing singlehood fine. The only way I know to instruct a single Christian how to be single and successful until your change comes is to be satisfying your calling, your divine appointment under God. If there is no sense that you are satisfying your divine appointment under God, that's why the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 7, in a long section given to singles, he says, during that status, while you are single, you are to be fully devoted to your calling. Because that is what will sustain you during the time when you are not in the state perhaps you want to be in, prefer to be in, desire to be in. Like Adam, he says, you are to function in your garden, your divine place of placement. And every Christian has one. But God determines it is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. Before God ever made a woman, he made man and first of all, gave him a job. The first thing he did was give him a job. In other words, the man knew responsibility under God before he was given responsibility over a woman. When a man has not learned responsibility under God, he will be irresponsible over the one he has placed. When a woman comes underneath an irresponsible man, she has opened herself up to a very frustrating life. Before God ever created, chapter 2 actually belongs in chapter 1. Because chapter 1, God has already created. The Bible says God created man in his own image. Chapter 2 is telling you how he did it. And the reason he wants you to know how he did it is that the process of him doing it is very important for the purpose for which he did it in the first place. And the reason in chapter 1 he did it in the first place was to let them rule. That is, to occupy and express spiritual authority in history on God's behalf. They were to rule the earth on God's behalf. The first thing he did was created Adam. He created Adam. He gave Adam a calling and a responsibility, and he decided it's not good for you to be alone. Now the question is, why is it not good? Why is it not good? The first answer most people will give is companionship. I would like to throw you a curveball today. That's not the reason why it's not good for man to be alone. I don't see Adam complaining. I'm by myself. It's God determining it's not good. Why is it not good for Adam just to be hanging out by himself and doing his thing? Because the boy needs help. Wait a minute, I didn't make that up. Verse 18. I will make him a helper suitable for him. Now the question is, why does my man need help? Because while he was created perfect, he was created intentionally incomplete. God created Adam in such a way, watch this now, that the task of dominion, the responsibility of ruling, could not sufficiently be done without assistance. He could not pull off God's intention for his life if he sought to pull it off alone at this particular point in his life. For the preceding time, before there was a woman, he could pull it off. But now, for the level that God wanted to use him at and take him to, he could not pull this off by himself. He was going to need help. So let me explain something. Companionship, which I'll talk about in a moment, while very important, was not God's first concern. God's first concern was his command to let them rule in chapter 1, or to exercise dominion or spiritual authority. And so what he says, you're going to pull off what I have designed for you to pull off at this point in your life, you cannot pull it off alone. The problem is you don't know that yet. Because Adam, you think you all that. You think you can handle this all by yourself, but you cannot. And therefore, it is not good in light of what I'm expecting from you. This cannot be done without assistance.
Dr. Evans will tell us more about what that assistance ought to look like when he continues our message in just a moment. First, though, I want to tell you about Tony's brand new book, a must-have resource for couples serious about strengthening or restoring their marriage. Prayers for Victory in Marriage is more than a collection of words you can recite. It'll teach you how to get below the problems on the surface and bring your real needs before the throne. You'll get the help you need breaking patterns of conflict, overcoming resentment, giving and receiving genuine forgiveness, holding on through hard times, and much more. Prayers for Victory in Marriage. Request it today at TonyEvans.org, and it's yours as our thank you gift when you make any contribution to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station. That's TonyEvans.org. Or call our 24-hour resource center at 1-800-800-3222 before this limited-time offer runs out. That's 1-800-800-3222. Well, time to get back to today's lesson now. Here's Dr. Evans.
Having somebody by you who can help you achieve what God has for you is more important than how pretty she is. What he wants you to know is that I created you for dominion. I created you to rule, mister. I created you to act on my behalf in history, and you're going to need help in getting there. Now, I'm going to throw a little fun in there along the way, but my purpose for your assistance is your dominion. The Hebrew word help means one who shares in the responsibility with whom you collaborate in order to fulfill your purpose. You do not have all the information. You do not have all the perspectives. You do not have all the intellect. I am going to give you someone who will complete what you are lacking. If you had it all, you wouldn't need help. If you had it all, you wouldn't need assistance. Now that means that the purpose of the companion is not just to cook food, or to wash clothes, or to wipe noses. All of that has its place, and we'll talk about that. But the reason God gave Adam, Eve, was so there would be a collaborative effort in his rule. There would be a person near to him who understands him, who could give a perspective to him that he did not otherwise have. Therefore, any man who does not utilize his mate for her mind, her skills, her intellect, her training, and her giftedness is a fool. Any man who wastes all that God has given a woman, not only in her skill base and her intellect base, but in her emotional base. Because what men will often do is argue logically. And what women will often do is tell you how they feel. And often when what she feels doesn't agree with what we think, her feelings are dismissed because they do not agree with the logical pattern we may have erected. But you have to understand that God has put in her brain, by creation, more nerve endings designed to pick up on more perceptions and intuitions that logic is not sufficient to address. So what you are to tap into is her sensing of an issue, her understanding of an issue, before you have finalized your decision. Now, we're going to get to this. I wasn't able to fit it in the sermon today. God does give the man the right to make the final decision as the head. What he does not give the man the right to do is to make it independently of collaboration. That her thoughts, feelings, perspectives, input is to be fully incorporated into the decision because she's supposed to help you rule. And trust me, the more she feels like she is part of the rulership of this company called your home in achieving the calling of God, the more responsive she's going to be to you as her head. The less she feels she's needed, valued, appreciated, and her input is to be automatically, naturally incorporated into the well-being of the direction, the less responsive she will be because she will feel that she does not matter. Therefore, it is the role of Adam to take help that is what he calls suitable. The Hebrew word suitable means essential contributor, specifically designed to complement what God is calling you to do. Single ladies, one of the questions you want to ask when that man proposes to you is, does he need me? If he does not want your mind, your thoughts, if he doesn't want your input, then he doesn't need you. And you don't want to simply be wanted, you want to be needed. You want to be an essential part of this partnership because I will make man male and female. And so he says, man needs help. He needs help to do what? To fulfill my instruction. What is my instruction? Let them rule. Let them rule. So she is to be part and parcel of the dominion purposes of God. Man needed to know that before woman was made. God wasn't going to make a woman until a man understood her role. She was not to be used. She was not to simply be a sex symbol. She was not simply to be made, and hope you ladies will not allow yourself to be made into a spectacle rather than somebody that's needed and valued, and you're not just put here to turn some fellas on. You are here because you have been substantively created to be a part of this rulership process. The subordination of the woman under the man was tied to the subordination of the man underneath God. If the man refused to be subordinate underneath God, it would show up in the rebellion of the woman and her refusal to be subordinate underneath him. So if your wife is giving you a headache underneath you, it could be because you've given God a headache underneath him. And he's going to let you feel the headache he has by letting you share in his headache with the one who's supposed to be subordinate under you. So before you complain, she's not submitting. Are you modeling what submission looks like? If you want her to ask you first, are you asking him first? If you're not checking with him, why should she check with you so that you can lead her from him? There is a process of subordination that allows rulership to occur. Stick with me, man. I love you. Because the man is created first. Out of the ground, God forms every beast of the field, every bird of the sky. He brings them to man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name. He gives him the cattle and the birds of the sky and every beast of the field. I titled this message when I was talking to just the men, Why I Love Being a Man. Sometimes I get up in the morning, look in the mirror and say, thank God. I love me being a man. And this is why. It says, he brought to Adam, because woman's not here yet, his creation, to see what he would name them. And whatever he named them, God okayed it. God authorized it. God let him govern it. Let me tell you what naming means in the Bible. Naming means ownership and the exercising of authority over. Name is not nomenclature. You're not just giving a word to it. Adam had the job of studying what was brought before him. He named everything from the aardvark to the zebra. A to Z. It was brought before him. He analyzed it, looked at it, classified it, and then named it. And whatever he named, that was its name. He took ownership of, exercised authority of, and determined what that thing would be. The reason I talk to men about loving to be a man is that God has given men the unique ability and responsibility to determine what something becomes. Some of you are sitting next to a woman that you named. When you first met her, she didn't like you. You weren't all that, you know, you were too much up on yourself, you know, you were smelling yourself, all of that. She didn't like you, she wasn't into you, but you decided to name her. So you kept coming back, and you kept coming back. She started off with, I don't like it. Then she went to, he all right. Then she went to, he kind of nice. Then she told her girlfriend, girl, I think I'm in love. You know what you did? You named her. You, what you did was you branded her until she was willing to come underneath your authority and marry you and take on your literal name, because the Bible says whatever Adam named it, that was its name. In other words, God stood behind whatever Adam did because Adam was given rule. He was given authority, and one of the great privileges, specifically to men, because there is no woman yet, is the authority to name what God brings. Now you say, how does this differ from prosperity theology, name it and claim it? It's a big difference, because Adam could only name what God brought him. He couldn't just name what he wanted. You just can't go out there naming stuff. You got to name something God wants you to have. You can't just name something because you want it. It says whatever God brought him, that was its name. God has got opportunity out there he wants you to name. He's got career out there he wants you to name. He's got opportunity, he's got circumstance. But if you don't know you have that authority, then everybody else will be naming stuff for you.
Dr. Tony Evans, talking about God's chain of command in the home as he wraps up part one of a message called Dominion and Marriage. Like all of our resources, copies are available for download or on CD or DVD. But right now, the best way to get it is to request our current CD series, The Best of Tony Evans on Marriage. You'll find it featured right now on our website, tonyevans.org, along with the book I told you about earlier, Prayers for Victory in Marriage. Remember, we're offering this brand new book as our thank you gift to anyone who can help support The Alternative with a donation of any size. Your faithful, generous contributions are the only way we can continue bringing Tony's teaching your way and building up local churches and leaders. So be sure to visit us at tonyevans.org right away to request your copy of Prayers for Victory in Marriage before time runs out. Again, that's tonyevans.org. Or call us day or night at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our resource team members help you. That's 1-800-800-3222. Tomorrow, more from Dr. Evans on using your spiritual authority to reinforce your marriage. I hope you'll join us. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative, and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.